Hey, 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 greetings, sisters, greetings, sacred sisters. June Allen here, your racial sobriety mentor from juneallen.net. And I teach black women how to heal from addiction to self-hate with racial sobriety and personal empowerment. Thank you so much for joining me again on this wonderful series, your Freedom 50 series. So in this session, I'm going to be talking about powerlessness and talking about the fact that you are not powerless. Despite the situations that you find yourself in, you are not powerless. So this is a life lesson that, it took me a long time to get to that place where I really started to believe that I wasn't powerless. But I had to go through certain things in order to start believing it. But when I did, it's like, oh my gosh, I just felt so empowered. I felt so much happier. I felt free. I really felt free. So I feel really excited about sharing what I'm going to share with you today, because, you know, I know that you're going to feel so much more empowered and you're going to feel hopeful after sharing what I've shared with you today. So let's get into it. So the reason why, first of all, you know, so many of us do feel powerless is because, you know, our history, we have a history of pain that has taught us that we are powerless. The behavior of white supremacy, living under the system of white supremacy, living under a system where, you know, as a culture, we have a lot of unresolved pain and continue to try to survive under the system. You know, it makes sense why so many of us do feel powerless, because it's aggressive, it's ongoing, it's insidious, it's insane. And living under the system creates a lot of intense emotions. You know, it creates a lot of intense emotions. And when you feel powerless over a certain situation, it makes sense, because, you know, it's not just as simple as, you know, saying to people who practice white supremacy, you know, can you stop it? No matter how much we march or beg or plead or whatever, you know, we're still trapped under a system that continues to be abusive. And, you know, that's the kind of, this is the social part of it. But when we also talk about it, you know, from a place of inside our families and feeling powerless over the people in our families, that becomes something so much more deeper and so much more complex and so much more painful, in the sense that the powerlessness is intensified because, you know, we feel powerless over people that are supposed to love us, that are supposed to take care of us, that are supposed to honour us. And if these are the people that are actually creating the hurt, a lot of time it's internalised racism, it's a lot of their own stuff that they haven't had resolved, and they're just passing it on to us. So it makes sense why so many of us feel powerless, you know, as a separate issue inside our own homes, inside our relationships with family members that are just committed to their pain, just committed to acting out. And it makes complete sense why so many of us stay in denial about how powerless we feel, around the vulnerability that we feel within our families, because we feel like we can't change it. We feel like we can't change the people that are behaving like that way in our families, especially if it's our parents. So therefore we just get stuck with it. We just get stuck with it and we feel powerless over them. And then as a result, those feelings get pent up and suppressed and denied. And then we start to feel powerless over our feelings, because those feelings are not just going to disappear because we decide to stay in denial. Those feelings stay. It's energy. It's energy. And so those feelings are going to create a vacuum. They're going to create a vacuum if you don't discharge them, if you don't find a way to process them in a healthy way. They are going to stay suppressed in your psyche and they're going to leak out and bleed over everything in your life. You know, it's going to bleed over everything in your life. So the impact of all of this oppression, be it external from a social perspective or whether it's the powerlessness that we feel inside our families, is that, you know, we learn helplessness, basically. We learn to be victims because we are victims, but we get trapped in the victimhood, is what I should say. We get trapped in the victimhood. We get trapped in the helplessness. We get trapped in the powerlessness. Because, you know, if we grew up in homes that were like that, then, you know, we don't have any power over our adult parents. And if we don't, if that stuff is unresolved, or we haven't seek any support or anything around it, then we kind of get trapped in that childlike state. We never get the opportunity to evolve emotionally, spiritually, physically, because we're trapped in that sense of powerlessness. We don't feel confident. We don't have any self-esteem. And in those situations, when we're raised in those sort of environments, the whole concept of being seen, being visible, has become emotionally unsafe, because it wasn't safe for us to be seen inside our families. So this becomes a very, very difficult place to be when not only are you experiencing it within your home, but also you're experiencing it in society, because the oppression then becomes double. It becomes double. And I know from my experience around this, this is something that was incredibly painful for me for a very long time as an adult. And I didn't honestly realise how much stuff I had absorbed. I didn't realise how much stuff I had taken on. I didn't realise how much shame and project, you know, all the projections, all the stuff that was kind of dumped on me, because other people, people in my family, people in society or whatever, couldn't hold their own pain, so that they felt it was okay to dump it on me. And because I'm really codependent and I didn't know how to look after myself, you know, I allowed myself to stay in these relationships longer than I should have done. I didn't know how to set boundaries around these people. So I ended up staying in these relationships and staying in touch with people longer than I should, because I didn't know how to. And so what happens is I found myself in a situation where I realised that I actually enabled the abuse. I didn't realise that's what happened until obviously I'd gone into therapy and gone into recovery and whatnot. But I'd enabled a lot of the abuse because I didn't know how to say no. I didn't know how to take care of myself. And I really did feel so powerless, because I was trapped in trying to change my parents, trying to change the relationships, trying to change everybody else, trying to change white people, trying to change everybody else, except really looking at, you know, how I contributed. And I don't say that in a way to kind of victim blame myself, but it's about, you know, if I'm in a situation where I'm being abused, you know, how am I allowing that to happen? Why am I allowing that to happen? Why am I tolerating it? You know, and what do I need to, why have I not set a boundary? These are all the questions that I can ask myself now with hindsight, like, why did I do that? But when I'm in that state, before I even came into recovery and started doing this work, I felt powerless. I felt powerless. And I also understand now with hindsight that, you know, the really dark places of depression that I went to on so many occasions was literally about, it's about the powerlessness. It's about the powerlessness. And my depression, I believe that depression, when I speak for myself, is anger without the fire. You know, oppression, I believe, is depression. The oppression that I experienced was actually depression. And depression is anger without the fire. Anger at the injustice, anger at not being seen, anger at being abused and not feeling able to show up for myself. And so what happened is I suppressed all of it. I swallowed it. I swallowed it because I wasn't allowed to express it. And so that just, you know, with that, when anger isn't expressed appropriately, it always becomes transformed into something a lot more toxic. And for me, it was depression. It was depression. And I internalized it. And I would, you know, that's how my addictions happened. That's how my codependency happened. It just became, you know, a form of chronic people pleasing, because I thought, well, if I you know, if I spend so much of my time kind of trying to figure out what the other person wants and what the other person needs and how I'm going to behave to make sure that the other person doesn't shame me or abuse me or ignore me or to make the other person like me. That was kind of what my obsession was about. That was the compulsive behavior. What do I need to do to make this person not hurt me? And so that's how my addiction played itself out, you know. But I just realized that none of that really worked, because ultimately I knew that I needed to change my behavior. I needed to change how I responded to people that were being abusive and stuff like that. And, you know, at the time, you know, before I came into recovery, I just felt, you know, the powerlessness and the anger and the resentment was, and the shame was just so intense, on so many levels. And, in a way, now I think about it, and I'm actually kind of quite grateful for it in a weird sort of way, because if I hadn't had that massive rock bottom around those feelings, then I wouldn't have gone out and sought help. You know, if it wasn't that intense, I wouldn't have gone out and asked for help. I wouldn't have gone out and, you know, I wouldn't have gone on the internet and searched for help and stuff like that. And I wouldn't be having this conversation with you today. I would not have been having this conversation with you today, because I wouldn't have been in enough pain at that time to make the decision to go into recovery and to start doing the internal work, to go and ask for a therapist and just start having these really honest conversations about, you know, what is the solution? And I had no idea what the solution was, but I just knew that I couldn't stay. I couldn't stay in that depression. I really couldn't. And I was kind of frightened by my own, anger, actually, because I knew that I had a lot of it, and I couldn't, you know, there were times in my life where when I did start actually doing the therapy work, like I couldn't access the anger. It was so buried and I'd covered so much stuff over it that I couldn't access it. But I knew that it was playing itself out, because obviously because of my people pleasing and my addiction and stuff like that. So I knew that the anger was leaking out. And also I could be very passive aggressive as well with people. But I didn't understand what that was. I didn't understand what that behaviour was until I came into recovery and until I started doing this work. And I really started to understand what it was all about. I really started to understand what it was all about. But, you know, this whole thing around powerlessness, you know, I think when I think about my own experience around powerlessness, really, I felt powerlessness over my emotions. I felt powerless over my rage. I felt powerless over, you know, being in the world. I didn't like who I was in the world. I had no control over the external stuff around white supremacy. I had no control over the behaviour that was going on in my family from people that were supposed to love me. I felt powerless over the relationships that I'd gotten myself into that were incredibly painful. I felt powerless over being trapped inside a body that I didn't like very much. And so I pretty much had a lot of self-hate. And this is what I mean when I talk about being addicted to self-hate, because I just found it painful to be in any situation, and that was the root of my depression and my anxiety and my people pleasing. And I felt really, really isolated. Now I, you know, I totally understand why I felt like that and why the denial for me was so strong, because not only was I afraid of the change, but I was also afraid of how I was going to feel, because I knew when I really started to explore my depression and really started to explore what was underneath it, that I knew there was going to be a lot of rage. I knew that there was going to be a lot of upset. I knew there was going to be a lot of grief. And I was afraid of the intensity of it, because I knew that there was a lot of things that I was upset about, and I was afraid of, you know, looking at it. I was afraid of looking at it. I was really scared of how my relationships were going to change. because I knew that the people who had harmed me were people that were close to me, and I was absolutely terrified of how those relationships were going to shift. And, you know, was I going to be alone? Was I going to end up just being on my own? Because I didn't want to stay in the relationships with them. I didn't want to, you know, I had a terrible relationship with myself. I just wasn't very good at relationships. I really wasn't very good at relationships, and I just felt powerless and depressed on so many different levels. And it was hard. It was really, really hard. But today, I feel so grateful that even though I didn't understand what I was searching for when I began searching for help, I'm so grateful that, and I can only describe this as, you know, my higher power guiding me, my ancestors guiding me towards the solution. And the solution is that, you know, I had to become my own loving higher parent. At the time when I first started doing this work, I felt very abandoned by God, and I found it hard to even say the word higher power or even the word God, because I found it so triggering. You know, I found it really, really triggering, because I thought, well, you know, if God is supposed to be this big, wonderful thing, then why on earth have I been put through so much misery? Why on earth have I been put through so much suffering? And why was I so disconnected from myself, from my blackness, from my divinity? You know, how does that happen? You know, if there is supposed to be a God, I didn't understand. I didn't understand. But, you know, one of my favourite quotes by Alice Walker, is she says that, you know, the easiest way that we give up our power is by thinking that we don't have any. And I'm just so grateful that even though I still didn't think I had any power, I still took a step of faith. And I still keep taking those steps of faith, because, you know, my healing path is not a destination. And what I've learned over these years, or, you know, on this journey, is that, yes, I may be powerless over my reaction to something, but I'm actually not powerless over my response. I'm not powerless over my response. And when I allow my loving higher parent to take over and to take care of that wounded part of me, then I'm not powerless. You know, I'm not powerless. The reactions that I have are part of, you know, that's just a knee-jerk thing that happens as a human being. If somebody does something to me that's abusive, then I'm going to have a reaction to it as a human being. And it might not be, you know, it might not be the reaction that I want. It might be something that's really uncomfortable or whatever it is. But when I am when I'm in my loving higher parent, you know, the response is so much more measured and so much more present. And I'm allowed to take care of that human part of me that may have reacted in a knee-jerk reaction, that may not, you know, may not always be for my highest good. And I realized that the more I take care of myself, the more I respond from the place of my loving higher parent, that the human reaction, you know, that may not be as healthy, is reduced. It becomes less, because I, you know, my higher parent then becomes more of the default rather than the wounded human part of myself that doesn't, you know, that doesn't know how to take care of herself. That wounded inner child that needs somebody to show up, that needs an ally, you know, no longer is kind of freaking out about the fact that no one's going to show up, because my higher loving parent shows up and takes care of me. And that's what needs to happen. And that's where, you know, we go from a place of powerlessness to empowerment. You know, I know now that when I'm in my higher parent, it's easier for me to let go of the need to be liked by other people. And that doesn't mean to say that I don't care about people's feelings. I do. But I don't let it, I don't abandon myself in the process. And Yeah, I, you know, the whole thing about the people pleasing, the codependency, you know, it's replaced with, you know, a love for myself. That becomes the priority. That really does become the priority. The whole concept of self-parenting is such a simple concept, but I think it's very easy for us to get lost and to get caught up in, well, how is the other person going to take care of me? How is my relationship, how is my husband, my partner going to take care of me? And there's less focus on how we're going to take care of ourselves. And what I've learned over the years is that actually successful relationships become successful through self-parenting, through self-care. When I learn to take care of myself, then it's much easier for me to be in a relationship with someone else because I'm not abandoning myself in that process. I'm not having, I don't have expectations and needs of that other person to do for me what I can't do for myself. It doesn't mean to say that I don't allow myself to receive love and care from other people. That's an important part of being human and being in a relationship. But I'm not kind of devastated and I'm not kind of reliant on that other person showing up for me in the same way because I know that I show up for myself. And yes, I might still have feelings. I might still, you know, I'm still going to be upset if the relationship doesn't work out, if there's conflict or whatever. I'm not talking about that. But what I'm saying is, as a, you know, when I self-parent, you know, there's less level of kind of childlike neediness. There isn't that actually, I know what I'm going to say. There isn't that dynamic of a child parent. There isn't that child parent dynamic that kind of dominates the relationship. It's actually two emotionally sober adults making a choice to be in relationship with each other rather than my childlike self trying to have a relationship with somebody else who may be an adult or might be trying to have a relationship with another adult child, you know? And if we think about this concept of self-parenting as well, just to take it to another level, you know, if you're a parent and you've got a child, you know, you want the best for that child. You are going to do anything for that child. You're going to check in with that child. You're going to support that child. You're going to be really in tune and aware of what the child's needs are. Is the child hungry? Does the child need sleep? Does the child need stimulation? Does the child need fun? Is it time for the child to learn how to read? Is the child teething? You know, you understand when the pain, you know, when the child is in discomfort, you know, you get what you become aware of the child's cues, you know. And we want our children to ask us when they want help, when they want support and help with things. And ultimately, we are going to protect our children as much as possible. We're going to protect them. So when you think about these things that we do for our own children, are you asking your inner child the same questions? Your inner adult, your loving higher parent, should be asking your wounded inner child the same questions. And when you're asking these questions, is your loving higher parent listening? Is your inner parent listening to your inner child? Are you taking action? Are you taking action or are you still waiting for somebody else to do it for you? Or are you just keep putting it off? Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. It's not that important. I'll just do it tomorrow. I'll do it later. Are you at the top of the list? Are you at the top of your list? Today, it's important to remember that you deserve to be at the top of your list. You deserve to be at the top of your list, and you are not powerless. You're not powerless. You can admit that you're powerless over the reaction, the human reaction, but you can now make a choice. You have an opportunity now to make a choice to think and get present to how you're going to respond from your higher loving parent, from your inner adult, from your inner mother, your inner goddess. What would your inner goddess do now, today, in this moment? to take care of you. You are not powerless, my beautiful sacred sister. Make the choice today to become your own loving higher parent, your own loving higher mother. You deserve it. Thank you so much for joining me on this session. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you've got any questions or you'd like to talk to me further about anything that I've discussed in this session, you can call me at, you can schedule a call with me at callme.juneallen.net. I will see you very soon. Take care. Bye-bye.